you break, Bessie. Yes, I'll die for you, Lord. I'll give my life for whoever. That's what we're saying. We're agreeing with that. Understand that. This is probably one of the most sober acts that we have that we do to remember what Christ did for us, but we are called to do the same thing. It's like a soldier getting ready to go in the battle. And as you get ready to go in, he already sees. He sees the soldiers coming off the battlefield. And they're destroyed. Unrecognizable. But they're getting ready to go in. Why? Because they took an oath. That's what they do. And folks, that's where you and I are at today. Understand that. If we're not at that point, then we're not walking with the Master. Amen? Please understand that. We're not called for vacation yet. We're called for the trenches. We are called to be in spiritual warfare. Understand that, folks. And just as the Master, as He gave His life up for us, He tells us, hey, listen, you're going to follow me? You're truly going to be my light? The same thing's going to happen to you. But don't fear, He says. I'm going to be with you. I'll strengthen you to do it. But soon, He's coming back for His followers. Understand that. He's coming back for those who find themselves in the trenches. Now, they don't have to just be physical trenches, spiritual trenches. Those who have sacrificed their own desires for fleshly desire for the Master, those who are following Him, He's going to come and take those out before long. We call it the rapture of the church. He's going to remove them. And then, wow, the 7 years of tribulation will be upon them. So if you follow Him, if He's your Master, He's your Savior and Lord, I just want to encourage you to keep walking with Him. Don't fall into the world. Don't fall backwards. Don't embrace the things that God delivered you from. Don't let it drag you back. You have to run, you run away from it. If you got to break relationships, you break that relationship. You got to get a different job, you walk away from that job if you can't overcome it. Because it is so awesome, it's so real what He's called us to do. And that's what we're celebrating today, because He sent the Holy Spirit, His power, for each one of us. That way we can do it. If we're trying to live the Christian life with our own power, we can't do it. Otherwise, if we're trying to live the Christian life without truly being born again, we can't do it. We're going to find it hard. And we'll find ourselves compromising all the time. But He gives us strength. Let's think of that. He gives that to us. Fernando, if you want it, you know. If you want to use it. And which soldier would take a .22 over a submachine gun? You know, we'd want the power that's available for us. So I'm going to speak briefly about the Pentecost and about the Holy Spirit and show you the importance of it. You know, in Matthew chapter 3, we see what the Holy Spirit does. And we see Jesus. You know, you can turn there if you want to, or I can read it to you. Matthew 3:13, but it's talking about the baptism of Jesus. And Jesus is taken to the Jordan to be baptized. Why? Because He's getting ready to encounter His ministry. He's about 30 years old. It's time now to be about the Father's business, to start the ministry. And it says in Matthew 3:13, then Jesus arrived at Galilee at the Jordan, coming to John the Baptist to be baptized by him. But John tried to prevent him, saying, I have need to be baptized by you. And do you come to me? And Jesus said this, permit it at this time, for in this way is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. Then Jesus was baptized. And after being baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water. And behold, the heavens were open, and He saw the Spirit of God descending as a dove and lightning on Him. And behold, a voice from heaven said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. As He was baptized, the Spirit of God came upon Jesus. He'd been baptized with the Holy Spirit. Strengthened. Why? Because he's starting in the ministry. And he would need that power to overcome the tricks of the devil. And we see where the Master led out. He went out for fasting, prayer and fasting for 40 days, led by the Spirit. The end of the 40 days, what took place? Here comes Satan. He comes to tempt the Master. And what happens? Yes, Satan, he quoted scriptures of Jesus, did he not? But Jesus says, hey, man don't live by bread alone, right? He overcome the devil. He overcome that temptation because of the Holy Spirit. And then as he did, the Holy Spirit come upon him. It was time with the Father that he spent, the time of prayer he spent. Because he knew that Satan was going to come. That's what the purpose he's here. He came to destroy Satan's power. Amen? Now, he didn't destroy Satan himself. He's still upon this earth, okay? But the power that he had on people. Understand that. And he overcame that because of the Holy Spirit was with him. And folks, today we are the same thing. Jesus had need of the Holy Spirit to strengthen him in his earthly body. To overcome the power of Satan. We've been called the same thing, to destroy the power of Satan that has upon us and to set other people free as Jesus did. It's the same Spirit. But we need that Holy Spirit. We need to yield to that Holy Spirit. We need to fast. We need to pray. We need to say, okay, God, let me be all I can be for you. That's what he wants us to do. You know, I'm not going to ask any hands shown, but when's the last time you fasted? When's the last time you dedicated 24 hours, 48 hours, 72 hours for fasting and prayer? Just being in prayer with the Lord. Okay? We got to check ourselves. Are we? Are we consuming him like Jesus did? Jesus said that we'll do the things that he did, even greater things, right? But he said that, believing that we're going to do the same thing that he did. Amen? You know, we shared before, I mean, how many of us right now, if Rick had his own business and he's paying employees $1,000 a week, $1,000 a week, brother. Mm-mm, yes, yeah, I know, you're lying. And he gets paid on Friday. Friday's payday. We know Rick's paying people on Friday. And so, man, we all run down there and get in line and get that paycheck. And Corey works for him. He gets one. Bob gets one. I'm in line. I walk in. What do you want, Starkey? Hey, Rick, this is payday. I want that $1,000. You don't get it. You gave it to Corey. Yes, but he's part of the company here, okay? You're not part of the company. Well, I know, but I still want that $1,000. Would he give it to me? No, he would not. I got to be a part of the company and then work for him and receive that. It's the same way. We want the power of the Holy Spirit, do we not? We want to see the Pentecost things taking place. We want to see people healed. We want to set ourselves free. But man, in order to be like the Master, we have to spend the time just like the Master did. Okay? God's not a respecter of person. You can count him by the Son. So we dedicate our life to him and his prayer, fasting, and fellowship, reading the Bible, and that spirit that in us that connects to him, it grows, gets stronger and more confidence. Woo! We'll see the world turn upside down. Amen? And that's what he wants us to do, to encourage one another. You know, when we look out here and I see these faces here, I thought, man, Lord, I'm not alone. I'm not alone, you know. I got brothers and sisters loving Jesus, you know. So the point is, are we all loving Christ, loving the Father as Christ did? And that's where we have to be to the point that he's without Jesus, I am nothing. I would not want to live a day without him, you know. Now, he blesses us. I mean, some of you guys might be going fishing later on today, you know. Amen? I mean, or whatever you do for activities. We're allowed to do that. We're allowed to relax. Didn't the Master go out by himself from time to time? We need to restore our souls, but we got to do it in a way that's not detrimental to our souls. Amen? And so that's why Jesus told the disciples, I'm going to go away. I'm going to go away, but I'm going to leave the family business in your hands, is what he's saying. Amen? Think of that. You're part of the family business. And he tells us in Luke 24:49, he says, now, Luke 24:49, I know I get too quick sometimes. I'll share a few scriptures here with you, but, and behold, I am sending forth the promise of my Father upon you, but you are to stay in the city until you are clothed with power on high. Now, I'll be jumping around a couple of places, so you don't have to try to turn there, but you can if you want to. I'm going to combine a few scriptures together and speak about them. Then in John 14:15, Jesus tells his followers, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may be with you forever. That is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it does not see him or know him. But you know him because he abides with you and will be in you." See, right there he's saying, listen, this ain't going to make any sense to the world out there. Okay? Well, I'm going to send to you isn't going to make any sense to the world, the Spirit of truth. Okay? But he says, as you abide with me, it will come to you and it will be in you. Understand? That's the difference there, I truly believe, between churchgoers and followers of Jesus, okay? It's the Spirit. Amen? It's the Spirit that comes and dwells inside of a follower of Jesus. There's a connection in there that you can't explain it. You can't explain it. When you're worshiping Him, and you just, oh man, I don't want to leave His presence. Oh man, we could be here all day long just worshiping Him, because that's the connection between your spirit and the Holy Spirit and God Himself, okay? It's kind of like the kids are coming home. Okay? Think of somebody you just love to be in their presence, you love to talk to them, and you don't want to leave. Okay? Man, I wish you could stay there longer. You know? I've been here 5 hours, I have to leave now. Whoever your friend is, then you leave, okay? That's what it is with us. But the Spirit of God, then, man, we love Jesus at home. We love Him 24 hours, but man, when His saints get together and worship, that presence of God draws down, falls upon us, and don't want to leave. Don't want to step back out in the world. Want to go back out there, all the ugly stuff is going on. But you know, He didn't call us to stay in here, right? He called us to strengthen us, to empower us, to encourage us. But, okay, kids, get back out there. Go about the family business. Love one another. Woo, share my word. Let people know, man, how much I care for them. Share the light. But God, I go out there and do that. It's ugly out there. Man, if I tell people about Jesus, some of them are going to cuss me out. Some of my friends ain't going to talk to me anymore. I'll be laughed at. I'll be persecuted. I can see Jesus saying, okay, yeah, tell me about it. In a way, okay? Oh, His heart goes out to us. Oh, when we go through stuff, His heart goes out to us. I mean, He's encouraged. Oh, man, I know it's tough, guys. I know it's tough. But it's worth it. It's going to be worth it. It's tough. Just like the Father in heaven probably spoke to Jesus when He's in the garden. When He's down there, He said, oh, man, God, let this cup pass from me. Because He ain't ready to be crucified. But Father, not my will, but Your will be done. And the Holy Spirit strengthened Him, raised Him up, and said even the angels tended to Him. And that's where we are at, okay? He's interceding. He's seeing what you're going through. The things that you go through for the Master, and you think, it doesn't go undone. It's seen by Him. You know, He's got that, okay, He understands it. If no one appreciates what you're doing, that's okay, because you're doing it for Him. That's where you find your joy at also. Whatever you do, do it because of Him. It makes it a lot easier. If you have a job you really don't like, okay, do it for the Master. He says to do it like He's your boss. Boy, I don't like to clean out these stalls today. Everybody haul manure on 100-degree weather. Okay. But you know, Lord, I was hired to do this. I'm working for You. I'll make sure I clean them stalls out. I'll be nice to this guy. Because God sees what you're doing. And then the guy you're working for says, how can you smile, clean out the manure pit in 100-degree weather? Something different about her. Really different. Yeah. But see, all that brings Him glory, but people look at it like, okay, how are you going through that the way it is? And the only way we can do it is with the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. Okay? So the world don't understand this. We are spirit living in the flesh, and the world is flesh that's wrapped around the Spirit and puts on the Spirit of God. So that's the difference. So when people is conflict with you, they don't gel with you, it's just because they're of a different spirit at this time. Okay? Where you were at one time. You know? Maybe one time you didn't mind God. You didn't mind this or that. You know? I don't mean mind where you obeyed Him. God's okay. You can take Him or leave Him. Okay? But you have that connection with me, you know what I'm saying? Well, people are that way today, okay? People even tell you, hey, listen, I think you take this Jesus thing a little overboard, you know what I'm saying? I was guilty of that. I shared that before. My wife used to go to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. I thought, my land sakes, I think twice a year is plenty for anybody. You know, Christmas is new, yes. But when I come to know Jesus, when I get born again, man, I couldn't wait to go to church. I couldn't wait to be in fellowship with people, you know? It's a difference. Prior to that, I thought, man, she wastes her time. I'm just naive and stupid, you know what I'm saying? But Christ came into my life, and wow, I might still be stupid. But not stupid in that way, I guess. But he says, because he abides with you and will be in you. Verse 18 of chapter 14 of John. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. And after a little while, the world will no longer see me, but you will see me because I live, you will live also. And that day you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. So he said, okay, listen, you're going to know that. We're going to hang out in the city. But when this gift shows up, you're going to know it's here. John 15:26. Jesus said, now when the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, that is the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will testify about me. And you will testify also because you have been with me from the very beginning. He calls him a helper. And I think that's really important that we understand that. How many people here are not perfect? But how many people want to be perfect? Okay. Well, the cool thing about this, when he sent us the Holy Spirit, he sent us a helper. Amen? A helper, okay? And it'd be like, I'm here to help Maggie go to the bathroom, okay?
You okay. Tell everybody.
Well, everybody knows. But I'm here to help her, okay? If she wants to go, okay? She's got to do it on her own, okay? But I'm the helper to strengthen her to do what she wants to do. Amen? And that's what Jesus is. This Holy Spirit, he is your helper. He will help you do the things of the Lord. He'll help you overcome. So in order to help you, you have to have it set in your mind what you want to do, right? Amen. So if our mind is concentrating on the things of the Lord, I want to follow Jesus, and I want to overcome this, he will help me. He'll give me the strength and the power. He'll help me overcome it. But if I don't want to, he's not going to drag me. Amen. We shared last week, we said, you know, Jesus, take this from me. He won't take it from you. You have to give it to him. Amen. You know, whatever it might be, give it to him. Lord, just you go through my house, Lord, just clean out my house. No, he'll walk with you through your house and show you what you need to clean out. You know what I'm saying? Amen? And I think once we get realizing that, sometimes we don't understand it. Sometimes they go, oh man, I got born again. Whew, Spirit of God's in me. Okay, Lord, clean me up. It's funny, but you know what? I can remember in the day, my wife went to church. Take the kids to church every Sunday. And I would get up after she left. I had this rocking chair. I'd sit there watching a guy named John Hagee. Okay? And John Hagee would give an altar call or a service, you know? And he'd say, man, just pray with me. And I would pray. God, forgive me my sins. Oh, I never told Carol. And Monday morning, I get up, go to work. I was the same person as Monday before. I thought the same thing. See, I thought when I invited Christ in my life, poof, he just cleaned me out. He changed me. But no, if I would have told Carol, hey, I prayed today for Christ to come in my life. Why didn't I tell her? Well, I can't tell her I did that. All these years, I heard not go to church. You know, if I would have told her, she'd go, okay, Starkey, come on, man, let's get baptized. You know, Let's get in the Word of God. Let's go to Bible study. But I thought it didn't work because I get up Monday morning, I was the same. But here, I had that helper with me. Amen? But I didn't know he was a helper. I thought he was going to do it all. You know, it's kind of like I tell Carol, I'll go on the kid, hey, honey, want me to help you? He says, yes. Okay, here's the dirty ones. Okay? And I walk away. I didn't really help her at all, did I? She was expecting a little bit more from me, okay? Well, when he says, listen, I'm going to send you a helper, wow. When we have it set in our heart that we're going to follow Jesus, and we know how tough it's going to be because we look at his life, okay, how tough it was for him, he'll send us a helper to strengthen us if we want to. But he doesn't overtake us. Understand that. You know, we still do what Paul says, if I'm quoted correctly. The things I should do, I don't do, and the things I don't want to do, I do. Because he's struggling back and forth. We're going to struggle in the flesh, amen? We will struggle till we hear that trumpet sound. But he'll give us the power to overcome these struggles. And just to get rid of one struggle, another one might come. But it seems funny, it's a sanctification process because the struggles aren't struggles with sins that lead you to hell, amen? It's sins of the flesh. It's the things, it's the little foxes that disrupt your everyday life. You know, but he says, I'll send you the helper. And that's the Holy Spirit. And he says, so you have been with me. Let me get back where was that. And you were testified because you've been with me from the beginning. Now here we are today. We receive the same Spirit, but we have the Master. We have what we call the Word of God, right? We have the Gospels. As we read those, isn't that awesome? I wrote them all down. Because we read those, that comes into our spirit. And we see what God did, what Christ did. And that same Spirit is walking with them, the same Spirit that wrote the Bible. When you're born again, the same Spirit lives in you. It helps you recall what the Word of God says. Again, doesn't force you. But if you get the point like, oh God, what should I do today? What should I do about this? Oh, Lord, let me think. Lord, help me, Lord. Holy Spirit, man, bring back to me. And pretty soon he'll bring that verse back to you. He'll bring back something that's been deposited in your spirit. It could be a testimony someone has given. And they testify how they overcame the same thing that you're going through. And how they did that. Oh, wow. Oh, thank you, Lord. Yes, thank you for being a helper. John 16:7. But I tell you the truth. Jesus says, it is your advantage I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Concerning sin because they do not believe in me. And concerning righteousness because I go to the Father and you no longer see me. And concerning judgment because the ruler of this world has been judged. I have many more things to say to you, but you cannot bear them right now. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. For he will not speak on his own initiative, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And will disclose to you what is to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of mine and will disclose it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore, I said that he takes of mine and will disclose it to you. Wow. Everything. The Spirit of truth. And that's the one thing that came upon you one day. And Carol did an awesome teaching here a few weeks ago on the baptism. And the first thing that brings you to Christ is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. What it is, when the Word of God spoken, the Holy Spirit would take it, and it brought conviction to your heart. The Holy Spirit brings the Word out and submerges you. And when you're submerged in the Spirit, it brings conviction of your sin. That's where the weeping, that's when the crying out, oh God, God forgive me. That's the start of a relationship with the Lord. Anybody can say a prayer today. I can say, hey, you don't want to go to hell? Raise your hand. We're going to say a prayer. God, come in my life. Be my Savior and Lord. Amen. And you might as well not say a thing. Because without the conviction, without the presence of the Holy Spirit moving upon you, they're just words. Amen. But man, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, I mean, do you ever walk with the Master for a while, then you read the Scripture and you read it again? And it brings either conviction over you, like, oh, man. Or it brings, oh, thank you, Jesus. You know, that's the Holy Spirit doing His work in you, you know. And He does both ways. But God is a Father that yells at you all the time. Understand that? He's a Father there to encourage you. Okay? He knows that we're imperfect. He knows that we make mistakes. He knows that we're going to sin, but He still loves us. But He gives us strength. He gives us power to overcome these things. You know, it'd be like, I get off work every day, and I go over here to the local tavern, and I get drunk every day. Shooting pool. Whatever. Oh, you don't get drunk shooting pool, do you? Drinking, I guess it is, okay? Okay. I go over there, and about 4 o'clock, my buddy gets off work. He comes over, picks me up, and takes me home. You know? And I walk home, walk in the door, kind of staggering. Of course, my wife is so glad to see me drunk coming in the door, you know? And... What are you doing, Starkey? Hey, it's not my fault. I get off at noon. I don't have a ride home till 4 o'clock, so I got to sit somewhere. It ain't my fault. She said, well, I'll tell you what. I'll be down there at noon every day and pick you up. See, I got a choice now, right? She's empowered me with, okay, honey, come down at noon, pick me up. And I'll go, or it'll be, well, you know, what do I want? Do I want to really please my wife, or do I really want to be out there shooting pool and getting drunk waiting for my buddy to show up? I have to be honest with myself first, right? Amen? And same with the Master, okay? Honest with ourselves. We want to follow Him. We want Him to clean us up. We want Him to work with us, be the power and our strength. If we do, whoo, He'll help us out. He'll come pick us up, put it that way. But by the time my wife, oh, honey, that's okay. I hate to see you come out at noon, okay? I mean, it's hot out there. She'll truly see my heart. Amen? That's what God is. Just be honest with Him. You know? Be honest with Him. And He'll help us. But the truth is the truth that set us free when we read the Word of God. And that's what the world hates right now, the truth. Because how many of you just... I'm hardly on Facebook anymore. So if you ever need me, really, you better text me or do something. But someone just posted just a simple scripture, whatever it might be, just boop, 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 boop. Look how many people attacks it. You know, don't judge me, or who are you to say, or because the Spirit of truth. It's the truth. And you just post it out there. You might have a whole different reason for posting it, you know. Be encouraged today. And, but hey, repent from your sins. God will forgive you. Repent. Who are you telling me to repent? I mean, all kind of ugly stuff out there. But this might be one person out there that'll be reading it, who somebody's been witnessing to. Man, that's the third time this week I've read that word, repent. And man, that conviction comes over them. The Holy Spirit reaches out to them. It does make a difference in our life. But for us to follow Him, number one, the Holy Spirit will give us strength to overcome. Then He'll give us the strength to share. That's what Jesus says. He would do that. The Spirit of truth. If I read you a scripture, something Jesus said, you don't like it, is it still the truth? It is. What did He say would set you free? The truth. What will set other people free? The truth. How many people like the truth, you know? Yeah, I mean, we love the truth now because we know, even though when we read the Word of God, it steps on our toes, we know it's for a good reason, you know? Thank you, Lord. Yes, you're right. It brings conviction on us. And we appreciate the truth. But most people, they're not really willing for the truth. I mean, if you go to the doctor's tomorrow, do you really want the truth from the doctor? Or you want him to give you a clean bill of health? Say, oh, look okay to me, Starkey. Each one's got to decide, you know. I want him to say, hey, look good to me, Starkey, okay? Now, you say, now listen, you look pretty decent, but there's a couple, three tests I can do just to make sure. Do we say, well, go ahead and do those tests? Or, hey, that's all right, you said it's pretty good. You know? Sometimes we want to say, well, yeah, well, if you think I look okay, I'll wait the next time I have the test done, right? We've all been there. I think so. But with the Word of God, The Word of God, He's the truth. And hey, listen, I got a couple more tests for you. What is it? Well, it's my scriptures. You want to go a little bit deeper? You're born again now. But let's look at this. Love your neighbor. Love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute. All these things, yeah. That's what I'm saying, that the Spirit of Truth will continue to give us strength to pray. I mean, without the Holy Spirit today with us, there'd be a lot of people we would not be praying for, probably. The flesh would say, man, they can just die and go to hell. Right? But the Holy Spirit within us saying, no. God says for us to pray for our enemies. And do good for those who do bad to us. That's what He wants to do. But how do we do that? The Holy Spirit, amen? Amen. In Acts chapter 1, verse 4, Acts 1, 4 says, now gathering them together, Jesus commanded them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for what the Father had promised, which He said, you heard of me, for John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Wow. He said, I'm going to empower you, what He's saying. He said in verse 6, so when they had come together, they were asking Jesus, saying, Lord, is it this time you are restoring the kingdom to Israel? And Jesus said, it is not for you to know these time or epochs, which the Father has fixed by His own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and all Judea and all Samaria, and even to the most parts of the earth. But you will receive power from the Holy Spirit. I will give you strength, and then you'll be my witnesses. So He called us to be His witnesses. He called us to take over again the family business of sharing God's love and preaching repentance. Well, they gathered in the upper chamber. We sing a song about that. They did what Jesus said. 10 days after the Master left, the Holy Spirit came and fell upon the disciples. And that same Spirit is here today. That same Spirit was used to start the church. And the church cannot function without the Holy Spirit. It can go through cakewalks and all kind of stuff. We have all the socials we want, all the bazaars. But we can't function what God's called us to do without the Holy Spirit. Now when it fell, we remember reading the book of Acts there, how many of it fell down, and boom, the disciples started speaking in unknown languages, unknown tongues. Man, the Bible says, listen, you're going to be able to lay hands on the sick, they're going to recover. The Great Commission says, now, you're going to be persecuted? Okay. But the same thing that Jesus did, He empowers us to do the same. That's what our calling is to do as a body of Christ. Amen? And that should be our desire to do that. It says the signs that we have, in Matthew 20:18, we call it the Great Commission. Jesus said, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. And lo, I will be with you always, even to the end of the age. And Mark has it documented this way in the 16th chapter of Mark, verse 15. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. He who has believed and has been baptized shall be saved, but he who has been disbelieved shall be condemned. Now, right there is very controversial to people, they don't understand. And he who has believed and has been baptized. Now, we'll go back to this part. The baptism. The first baptism is of the Holy Spirit that brought conviction upon you. Understand? We saw that take place on the cross. A lot of times I say, now listen, the thief on the cross was never baptized. He was never physically baptized, okay? But when he's on that cross, the Spirit of God overwhelmed him and he acknowledged Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. Amen? So a lot of people read that. So, oh, wait, yeah, I heard they pray, but they were never baptized. No, their first baptism, when they was convicted of their sins, was baptized through the Holy Spirit. Then water baptism brings the gift of the Holy Spirit. Amen? See the difference in that? And these signs will accompany those who have believed. In my name they will cast out demons, they will speak with new tongues, they will pick up serpents, and if they drink any deadly poison, it will not hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. So, what he's saying, man, as you guys follow me, I got your back, is what he's saying. There's nothing that we need to be fearful of. There's nothing we need to be scared of. He's with us. And we see throughout the scriptures, then we'll see Brother Paul going to prison quite often. He probably had the first prison ministry, I think. We see other disciples being persecuted, put to death. All for God's glory. Amen. Now today we don't see that quite as often. At least not in our country. And you know why? Because the church has been dead. The church is afraid to say anything controversial anymore. Think of that. I mean, the church as a whole, okay? We have got ourselves wrapped up so much political correctness. And the church has got ourselves so much that they don't speak about sin because, well, like, well, that's, you know, we can't do that. We got to the point that we want to gather here and eat fried chicken and sing our favorite gospel songs or hymns and let the world go to hell. And that's what happened to the church, a lot of the church over the last several decades. So that's why they think it's so radical right now, as God's bringing a rebirth to the Holy Spirit and to the church again. And church is standing up and saying, yeah, God loves you, but I'm telling you what, sin is sin. He hasn't changed a thing. He loves you so much, but if you stay in your sin, you shall not see the kingdom of God. And when you call out sins, as Jesus called them out and said, man, he died for you, he's never delivered you from that, but you stay in that sin. And they got all type of names for you now. Phobics of this, phobics of that, phobics of that. But again, we were not called to please the world. We've been called to please God. And some people ain't going to like that. But it's okay. Because He will empower us. Do we love them enough to be persecuted? To at least try to get those eyes to be open? You know, that's where we're at. That's what the Holy Spirit's here. It fell upon them. And now, later on in Acts, 7th chapter, 8th chapter, it says, listen, repent from your sins, be baptized, and receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now, I think for a lot of folks, if you're convicted and call upon the Lord and baptized, the Holy Spirit is living in here. You might not recognize it. Maybe the denomination you were in, they really didn't speak too much about it. Some denominations say, well, that was for back then, but not for today. Well, I mean, if we're going to get in a fight today, a big guy, and Jim Domer ran up to the guy with a ball bat, hit him in the head, boom, and took off running. You take over, Pastor. Hey, wait, give me the ball bat. Don't start a fight with the ball back. Run away with it. Amen? Well, why would the master start a fight with the devil, the Holy Spirit, and take off and take the Holy Spirit with him? It's still here. So I just want to encourage you that today we get on to the Lord and say, yes, Holy Spirit, man, just raise up in me. Give me strength. Give me wisdom. Open the scriptures up. Oh, Holy Spirit, I read today. Awaken inside of me. Bring me understanding. And then start giving more room and more room and more room in there. I know just for myself that when I got born again, it was 2 years before I got baptized. The reason being that I was baptized as a baby. Which I realized that you can't baptize a baby. You only can dedicate a child. In order to be baptized, you have to understand to repent from your sins, okay? But I struggled with that. for 2 years. Like, oh. And we got baptized all, and the pastor I was with, he said, well, you know, just keep praying about it. Because he told me, well, you got to be baptized now. I wouldn't be doing it for my own desire because I have to. And I was raised in a church. At 12 years old, you did this. 13, you did this. You walked all the stages here. But there's no conviction in my heart. But 2 years into it, you have a baptism. And what I had to do, number one, was swallow my pride. Okay, I'm 43 years old, 44 years old now, okay? Gone to church. I'm known in the community well. And I'm going to go down and say, I got to be baptized. I'm going to be baptized in front of all these people. But I'm telling you, I prayed to seek the Lord. He moved upon me. I said, yeah, I want to be baptized. I want to be. I'm not afraid of knowledge of the Lord. You know, I didn't understand things. And I'm telling you what, he took me to this pool. A nice swimming pool. Wow. Pastor Jim baptized me. He took me down the water, raised me up, and I'm telling you, the Holy Spirit fell upon me. I started preaching from the water, and I've never been the same since. Now, and so that Spirit is in you. Understand that, if you haven't tapped into it yet. But don't be afraid of the Holy Spirit. Some people say, well, I don't know. You know, speaking in tongues, some people don't understand that. And they're afraid that, man, if I start speaking in tongues, I'll be checking out, and they say, anything else? But he hit the one home. The Holy, you control the Holy Spirit, amen? It's like if I carried a gun, I can pull it out in target practice, so I can leave him a holster, right? It's just a weapon. The same with the Holy Spirit. You know? It's a weapon that we have. So don't be afraid of that part, but just seek him. Just seek the Holy Spirit, just welcome into every part of your life. And as we come together, as I believe, as the group, have become together as assemblies and other churches. Seems like some churches might be more powerful in this part of the Great Commission, where we might be more powerful in this part of it because we encounter it more, right? But did he not say you will cast out devils? Because there's so much demon activity right now, folks. Most of the world is under the influence of demons, and we're trying to make it something different. And there are medical issues, but there are demons. There's spirits of depression and spirit of suicide and there's spirit of fornication, all kind of stuff out there it's a true fight. Amen? Everybody's in some type of fight. And we are. Why? Because Satan hates us because you're made in the image of God. And we'll try to find that one little thing to get you tripped up or try to torment you with. That's where the Holy Spirit will come in and you seek Him and He'll give you the wisdom and help deliver you from these things. But we're always going to be under a constant battle till He comes. Brother Paul testified that many, many times in his writings, you know, to Timothy and stuff. We're going to be in that struggle. But the main thing is realize who's in you, who's available to you, and let Him lead you. Amen? But that's an awesome thing we have, the Holy Spirit. So, well, Father, we thank You for Your Word. We thank You for the Holy Spirit. We thank You for the calling You put on our life. We thank You, Lord, we leave here today. We don't go out by ourselves. No matter where we're going, Father, Your Word says You will not leave us or forsake us. And the Holy Spirit is there to strengthen us and help us recall the things of the Master and to recall the things that's been taught and to strengthen us. So, Lord, we just yield ourselves more and more to Your movement, to Your Word. Help us to be exactly what You want us to be. To work in the gifts that You've given us. And then to encourage one another, Lord. We just want to continue to lift up our children today. And our children's children's children's, Lord. We speak a hedge of protection around there and declare them for the kingdom of God. That they are our inheritance. We just cover them with the blood of Christ today. And Father, we just ask that You would send workers across their path. For the one that we cannot reach, to send workers across their path to share the gospel, to share the truth in such a way that they receive it and be brought out, Father God, from the snares of the devil. And Lord, to bring others across our path that we may share also, Lord. Continue to forgive us, Lord, as a nation for our sins. But God, we want to thank You for the leadership that's raising up. We thank You for those who are born again, Father, taking a step into the political arena to help direct our country. We just pray for their strength. And we keep seeking You, Lord. to give us the wisdom on who to support verbally and also financially if possible, Lord, to help preserve this nation for your word, for your glory, for our children, before your coming. So we give you the glory and the praise in Jesus' name. And may the good Lord bless you and keep you. May he cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May he turn his face towards you and give you peace. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.